It's the unknown. Unknown. It's the unknown. Unknown creature.
You know you can't do that. And I'm like, I was hoping you would champion me, which of course I
you knew she would. You knew she would.
Yeah, I knew she was. And she was going to be like, come on now. Like, she, yeah. You know, and she's some, it's interesting because another thing that I've learned is that it's okay for people to minister to us.
Absolutely. You know? Yeah. But you said some really powerful things, though, that, like, idolizing man, which I've never seen there from you, by the way, but we're inconsistent, we're flawed, you're going to be disappointed. But I was thinking about what you were saying, how some thoughts, number one, thoughts always come in our head, we can't be condemned or criticized for that, you're human. But the other piece of it is this: when you trust in God, there is really no anxiety and worry and concern. But when you do trust on man, you know, you start getting desperate because you're wondering, are they going to pull me through? And then when they don't, you do, it's possible that you will think about doing things that are unethical or out of desperation. And it's, to me, honestly, that's normal. Like when I study criminology and they talked about different factors that contribute to crime, you know, and some of it is desperation, a need to, you know, Maslow's hierarchy theory. You have certain needs that are necessary in order to live. And so people out of desperation will do things. That's why I've never been one to try to judge when someone shoplift or, you know, we had to enforce laws, but we recognize, I don't know what they were going through. All right, that was long-winded, but yeah. I appreciate you sharing that.
That was so good. Like, you know, law enforcement really needs, you know, people, and it's great to have that type of training because sometimes people in their despair will, by any means necessary, Malcolm X said perfectly.
Yeah.
By any means necessary. Sometimes you got to do what you got to do. There's even a scripture in the Bible that says, if you steal because you're hungry, it's like permissible. But when you have the money, you have to pay it back seven times over. That's somewhere in Proverbs. Someone should, whoever's listening, please find that verse because I really don't want you to think that is something that I'm just pulling out of the hat, but we have to know that the God that we serve is gracious. And, and back in the day, and we see this in with Naomi and Ruth and Boaz, there were laws for people who didn't have. There were, God put certain laws in place so that everybody had enough. And even the people that had less, the people that had more understood that they had to share, you know, and the community, you know, which starts as family, you know, it's our job. This is one of the reasons why it's so imperative to teach biblical values and principles so that people are not like, oh, you're just, you know, no, this is me. Give me, my name is Jimmy. You know what I mean? And when Ruth was gleaning, Boaz saw her and made sure that she had extra. But there were laws where people that, you know, the gleaners that came along, you could only put, you know, when you were picking the wheat or whatever seed or, you know, whatever you were, you know, you had planted, whatever dropped on the ground, you were not able to pick that up. That was actually an ancient law. And so people that had less, they would come, and that's what gleaning is. They would come and they would glean. And this way, everybody in the kingdom or in the family or in society or in the community had enough. You know what I'm saying? But nowadays, because mammon, or, you know, the Bible talks about, in Matthew, talks about mammon, that spirit, which is so evil because it's all about money. And money, having money is not bad, but the love of money is the root of all evil. We need money. We need resources. But we have to also understand that all of the money that we get, it's not for us. We have a duty to take care of other people, because at any point in time, you know, the Bible says it, Matthew 19:30, I believe. Matthew chapter 19:30. The first shall be last, and the last shall be first. And so at any point in time, those of us who are up on the, living on the hill, anything could happen, and they could be, I remember the first market crash where people were actually, when the stock market crashed, the first time it crashed, and people were committing suicide. And when I heard about it, I was like, what's wrong? Because everybody lost everything. And it's like, okay, well, in my mind, it's like, well, you lose everything, baby, start over. But there are some people that are so much into their interest, their dividends, their Roth IRA, their, you know what I'm saying, their stocks and bonds. They're so much into that, their yachts and their cars, and that they forget that at any point in time, God giveth, but he also take it away. At any point in time, God can come and take away everything that we permit. Look at Job. And Job wasn't being punished. God actually put him in the fire and said to the fallen angel, have you considered Job? So sometimes we have to go through a Job experience, because God has so much faith in us that we're not gonna, and he has to prove to the devil, like, yeah, baby, you could say what you want to say. Bamuna, the unknown preacher, LA. Their family members, they're not going to turn their back on me, because they know me in real time. You know what I mean? And so every experience is to strengthen, us, so that, you know, because when sometimes you got to put the pedal to the metal. Sometimes, you know, when you go and you lift weights, right? Like, we're training for our second marathon, baby. And let me tell you, I am training so hard. Oh my
God. I believe you.
So hard, but my muscles aren't going to grow if I don't challenge them. And it's the same thing. You know what I'm saying? We have to be challenged. So that was long winded too. But
no, it wasn't. It was all spot on. And what I heard from that is definitely yes. You got to put God first, and what happens is we put money first, and everything gets focused on that, how much we're making. And you ever notice, like, and I know we all have, some of the wealthiest people in the world are some of the most unhappy people. They really are, because it's empty, you know, when you don't have God. And so and you don't understand that. And you said it earlier, this money is God's, and he's giving it to us. We're supposed to be stewards. We're supposed to think of those who are less fortunate. Mm-hmm. And we're really supposed to give, because God gave to us, and he trusted us to be there for others in need. So, we have a lot of work to do, a lot of work, which brings me to the season, because I think last month we put it out there, and we took care of two families. Well, this month we really want to adopt two families for the holidays. So, So, but what we're asking, whatever it is you want to donate, whether it's toys, whether it's money, I know one family, they're little kids, so toys will be fine. Let me see what the age is. I'll hold on 1 second. But yeah, you can again email us theunknownpreacherla@gmail.com for more information. But again, if you want to purchase a toy, give money, whatever you do, whatever dividends is collected, we're going to split that between the two families. So that's the goal. And I'll tell you, I got a lot of people who reached out last month. I really appreciate the support. There's a lot of work that we need to do. We have to be there for one another. That's what church is about. That's what church community is about. Right, Mona? Anything to add?
Amen. Amen. Well, I just want to add, well, I want to go back to this. Mm-hmm. Well, let me start with this.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, Holy Spirit, where should I go? Okay, I'm going to go back to this. You know, you're so kind because you think so highly of me. And I think that in your mind, you like, oh my gosh, she's such a great woman of God. You know, mm-hmm. but you made a comment before and you were talking about idolization. Mm-hmm. And you're like, oh yeah, well, I'm pretty sure you're not idolizing. And so I want to take this time to confess that I've idolized you from the moment that I met you. I idolized you. I did. I really did, because of who you are and, you know, how you walk so strongly and even the profession that you're in, and then meeting your siblings and seeing how much of an impact you've made in their lives. And, you know, the way you are, that you interact with not just the community, but especially your family. You know what I mean? So it's really easy. There's sometimes, and I want everybody to really get this, that sometimes there is a very thin line between admiration and idolization.
Mm-hmm.
We don't know how to properly manage admiration. It turns into idolization. You know what I'm saying? And one of the things that the Holy Spirit has really spoken to me about is coveting. And yeah. I even had to go into covet, the Greek, to find out, well, what is covet? And coveting, basically, it comes from greed.
Mm-hmm. Yes. It comes from jealousy, greed. Right? Jealousy too, right?
Well, it can be jealousy, but really, it's greed. It's mm-hmm. because you see something that is so dangerous because it's mm-hmm. so subtle. It's very yes. subtle. It's when you see something in someone else or something that somebody has, and yeah. you want it for yourself, that's greed. Mm-hmm. And mm-hmm. so you don't necessarily have to be jealous. You could just be, you know, you could just be like, wow, look at what he has, or look at what she has, or look at what they have.
I got you.
You don't necessarily have to be jealous, but in your mind, in your heart especially, you can start to form competition. And I've mm-hmm. noticed that in my heart, there's been a lot of people that I've had this silent competition going on with. Not you. Mm-hmm. Because I just love you that much and care for you that much. But there have been this, one of the things that Holy Spirit has really had to check me on and make sure that my heart is in the right place, which is one of the reasons why with the Fab Over 40 mm-hmm. competition, you know, I was like, go, so gung-ho about it. And then I recognized that that even had become an idol. So when I was, you know, going for the first couple of rounds, you know, mm-hmm. the first phase of it, I was like dropping everybody, every day, vote. And then after a while, it got so exhausting. And I was like, this is an idol. I'm literally putting this above my love for God. And so I just totally cold turkey stopped. I stopped sending reminders. You know, when I sent them, it was like, okay, well, I'm going to send it when I, you know, if I remember, I'm going to send it. But it was, you know, we have to really watch that, you know, we have to watch. Yeah. And especially in these season times, and you know how I am, brother, I don't celebrate, you know, Christmas per se. And I did at one point in time, but you know, the spirit of what everybody is doing at this time, I believe in. But, you know, the things behind it, I just don't partake in. Mm-hmm. However, I will say that a lot around this season, everybody is going for the gusto, and mm-hmm. everybody wants to outdo the next person, and everybody wants to, you know what I mean? And then we do forget, brother, that there are people that have no means to even feel any type of joy at this time. Through this yeah. season, you know what I'm saying? Yeah. So going back, I just wanted to confess that. But going back to what you were saying about, you know, adopting a family, you know, we really do have to bear the burdens of our brethren, because we never ever know when it will be us.
Exactly.
You know what I'm saying? I've been up, I've been down, I've been all around. Yeah. And thank God that in all those times I had Jesus. But there Amen. Are some people that really, they have, I mean, their hope is, you know, like, we could really be the hope that someone needs at this time. And mm-hmm. we can lead them to Jesus. Because yeah. for some people, they'll never, ever go back into a church. But they'll remember this kind act, and they'll come to the Lord and to their Savior, because of what this ministry is doing. You know what I'm saying? So,
wow, so
I
much,
say all that to say, vote.
Yes. And you know, someone said exactly what you said this week to me about some will never go back into a church and why it's important and what we're doing. So I see that as confirmation. So I have the ages. It's a 6-year-old girl, a 10-year-old boy, and a 4-year-old boy. That's with the first family. And then the next family are teenagers. So the unknown preacher, LA@gmail.com. Now back to what you said about me. So I am heavily flawed. I appreciate those kind of words you said, but let me tell you something. I can be selfish. I'm a know-it-all. I get on people's nerves with my little research and trivia. I know things that people don't care about. So yeah, I'm far from someone to idolize. I appreciate the
you're
kind
the bomb.
Of words you say.
Nah, yo, you so dope. Like, don't play me. You are so dope, honestly. I'm so grateful to have you in my life. But honestly, it's God. I thank God for connecting us because, you know, I won't even get into that. But I'm just grateful to have met someone like you because, you know, I'm a very consecrated person and I'm a very private person. And so when we came back here, I told the Lord, I was like, listen, I'm gonna stay in my little huddle. Okay. I'm so graced to have my family because outside of my mother and my kids, I really don't need anybody. I have friends. I have a friend in my mother. I have a friend in my children. So I really don't need to outsource. You know what I'm saying? And sometimes we think that we don't need other people. We don't need community. And ladies and gentlemen, that is not the truth. We need, the Bible says, oh, how great it is for brethren to dwell together in unity. And so the only way that we can uplift each other is to come together with like-mindedness, to come together with principles and core values that are not only going to glorify God, my God, I give you the glory, that are not only going to glorify God, but that are going to edify the body. And so, you know, you really were like at a time where I really was like looking at everybody sideways, like, I don't trust that person. That person looks funny. I don't like nobody in here. Out of a whole warehouse full of people, here you come walking in strong with that walk that you do with your forehead glowing. Okay. With your forehead glowing. And I'm like, okay, God. And this just goes to show you that even in a foreign place, God still has his people set out for you. God still has his community set out for you. You know what I'm saying? Yeah. It's not everybody. It could be a very small huddle, but still the people that you're divinely connected to, those are the people that you got to hold on to. You got to appreciate those relationships. Yeah. Like Bishop says, Bishop put the flavor in our ears. He said that. What did he say? What did he say?
Marketplace. Yeah.
No, not marketplace. What did Bishop say? Now I'm gonna put you on full blast. What did Bishop
say? He said a number of things. So you say it. Then I'll say, oh yeah, that's right.
No. What did Bishop say about the currency in the kingdom?
Oh yeah.
What did he say?
The networking is a new currency.
Did he say networking?
Okay, well, you clear it up. So let me say this. I'm at 128 episodes. I can't remember every single one.
I don't want to hear that, okay? I don't care if you're at 333 episodes, okay? The episodes that me and Bishop are on, those should take precedence over.
See, here we go.
Okay.
We were doing very well today. Not one jab. And here we go. Tell me what he said, though.
So you're getting jabs.
I'll take it. But I do want to remind me what he said because I remember it being profound. So, yeah.
Bishop Cranford Davis said to the two of us, the Unknown Preacher LA and Mona Hayes, he said that the new currency in the kingdom is relationship.
Relationship. There you go. That's right. And I was not close.
You said networking, but you said networking, brother. Networking and relationships. Okay, I get where you're coming from. Network. Okay. Networking is not like your police event, okay? That's networking. You see what I'm saying? That's your networking. You come and bring your business cards, baby. That's not what we're talking about, okay?
I'm getting ready to Google networking and see if I can get
Oh, my God.
See, that's that flaw that people don't like about me. I told you.
Yeah, nah, it's okay, because if it makes it, you know what, for you to feel better about you, if you want to be in the know, go ahead. That's how you say, that's why you're the best in your field. So go ahead. Networking
is the intentional act of building relationships with people who share information, opportunities, support, and resources. So I paraphrase. I didn't say exactly what he said, but I was on point.
LA, you were wrong. LA. All right.
I'll let the audience decide that, man.
LA, okay. Bishop Cranford Davis said something specifically. He said nothing about networking. All right. He said, ladies and gentlemen, okay, when the prophet speaks, we don't switch the words. He didn't say networking, he said relationships. However, I will give you half a point. I'll give you 0.5 because it's intentional, right? And a lot of times we are not intentional with our relationships.
Exactly. You know, like, exactly.
Yes. Yeah. We're not intentional at all. So.
Yeah. No. You. I did want to share something because.
Oh gosh.
What? Well, I actually have 3 stories to share, but I'll find a way to insert it all.
Do we have that much time? Is okay.
We got about 30 minutes left. So, but I won't take up all of it. I'll start with just how good God is, and just about how you don't know, like you could be missing out on something or going through something, but in the big scheme of things, he's already there's a reason he's protecting you, and the reason reason I said that because this week I was in one of my moves, I was like running really late, and I ended up spilling coffee on my suit. I was like, man, this is ridiculous. So I get on the road and traffic is backed up. And then when you get on the highway, it's this 3-car, pretty bad wreck. And I think about, and I know just about all of us who are children of God think about this. Man, if I had got here a little sooner, I could have possibly been involved in that wreck. You just don't know. And so you just think about things like that. It just really made me stop everything I was complaining about and say, man, thank you, God. I understand now, because who knows? It could have easily been me. A 3-car wreck, anything could have happened. And so while I was on the road, I said, I'm going to mention this on the show, because God will protect us sometimes and we'll never see it. It's not tangible per se, because I can't go to it because it didn't happen. But who's to say it didn't happen because of divine intervention? Right.
Wow. Yeah.
Yeah. So I just wanted to share that because I said,
so
I would.
How's your suit doing?
It's good. Okay, that's not the first suit I spilled coffee on. And once you take it to the cleaners, they get it right. It's not too bad.
Okay. So you were just basically bugging because you like to look a certain way because, you know, as the assistant chief, you know what I'm saying, you got to set a standard.
Well, so here's the thing. Who wants to report the word with coffee on them right when at the start of the day? Later on in the day, you can kind of, but right at the beginning of the day? You know,
I mean, you know what? I kind of am giving you a hard time about it. I think that, you know, because I'm just trying to give you a little bit of grace. But at the end of the day, like, I get where you're coming from about how, you know, no, I do. I get where you're coming from. And, you know, it's funny that you should say that, because there are 2 people within the last 2 days that have had horrible car wrecks. Ladies and gentlemen, let me just say this. There's not one time that I get in my car and don't touch the 4 wheels and ask Holy Spirit to lead and guide the car. Sometimes we're just so into what we're doing and I got to get here and I got to stay on schedule and that we forget that it's God's grace that gets us there or not. The finger of God, the touch of God is the mercy and the grace that provides for us safety. And I'm telling you, like, especially in the last 3 weeks, I have just been so grateful for a car that runs. I've taken it to the mechanic like 2 or 3 times just because. And every time they look in this car, this motor is so good. Oh, listen to it. And I'm like, I just want to make sure. But, you know, there's the little things in life that we take for granted, like toothpaste and a toothbrush.
Yeah.
And, you know, getting to your destination on time and getting there safely, you know. So these two women, unfortunately, their cars have been totaled. And for some reason, it's been the front, like their entire front has just disappeared. Like one of my friends hit a deer, and the other lady, the librarian, she said that she was going down a hill and then up a hill. So she was right in the, like, she was like right in the, like in the dip. So she wasn't all the way down, but she was, and she was just, she was going all the way down and she was just about to go up the hill. And then there was like an 18 wheeler behind her and the tire came off of the wheel.
Oh, wow.
And rolled back and hit her car. And it was too late for her to stop, swerve. So literally that big wheel took her whole front of the car off. And I just kept on saying, and I looked at her and I was like, oh my God, thank God that you're okay. Thank God that you're okay. And she was just harping on the fact that her car was like jacked up. And I'm like, no, you don't understand. Thank God you're okay. Thank God you're okay. Like, you know, sometimes we really just forget that just how good God is, just how gracious he is.
Yes, yes, amen to that.
What the heck is this?
That is a photo of my son was in a wreck just a week ago, and that car is totaled. So so everything you just said is so true, and he is very fortunate.
Wow!
Praise God, he did his hit on the windshield, but he's okay. He's okay.
Does he pray before he gets in the car?
I was just getting to say, I honestly don't know, but I'll be very transparent and tell you, I don't do it all the time. And just listening to you, I remember you saying, you and I having this conversation a while back, and you told me you did it. And I said to myself, I'm going to be more intentional and make certain I do that. And I dropped the ball. And so it's just a reminder. I'm gonna tell you, I'll be honest with you. Yeah, I dropped the ball on it, but just hearing this and just you reminding me of this, I'm gonna do a better job with that.
Well, first of all, you're very rude because we'll be in the midst of lunch and then your phone rings and then you're totally like sidetracked and then we're wrapping up the meal and then we're walking away, okay, getting into our cars and then the phone rings again and then you just straight bounce. So you're very rude, okay? I think that's what God is trying to tell you. God is trying to tell you to be in one place at one time, but like we talked about being intentional, you know what I'm saying? Like, we got to be intentional because we can get into a car and never come out.
Black Farmers Hub is located at 1409 Cross Street in Raleigh. Stop by Nature's 360 Cafe for your herbs, favorite acai bowls, smoothies, and juices. And join us for Mental Health, Wealth, and Wellness Mondays.
Come get your $25 fast.
Or come out. It could be any of us. And I think that God is, you know, because this is the third person now that I'm hearing about, I think that God is really impressing because God does nothing happens by mistake. There's a reason why there is your son and then my two friends. Like, there's a reason for that. So we have got to, ladies and gentlemen, be intentional about be intentional about thanking God and asking him to get you there safely. You know what I'm saying? So, but yeah, I think it's part of it is just your rudeness. You just be on with the next.
I'm not rude. I agree with what you said about being more intentional.
You're very rude. See, they don't know that. The listeners don't know that, but I'm here. I'm going to let y'all know. The unknown preacher, LA, he's very, very rude.
there are things going on, man. Lives that need to be saved. Yeah, you know, okay, we're in that business. Okay. But I don't remember. I really don't recall doing that. I do remember the. I mean, the phone's always going to ring. And I'm not messing with you, man. What else you gotta say, man?
Well, I honestly, I'm happy that your son is okay. I'm glad to hear that he's all right, you know, and thank God that, you know, because you're the head priest of your family, you know what I mean? And kudos to you. James 5:16 tells us to confess our faults one to another, because mm-hmm. the fervent effectual prayers of a righteous man availeth much. And I'm grateful that we have an open space where we can be transparent and just be like, hey, yo, look, I idolize, I dropped the ball, I did this, I did, you know what I'm saying? Because this is how we build our community and make each other better, you know? Amen. So I think that it's what I'm learning is that, you know, because there's been a couple of times where I literally pulled out my driveway and like turned on the street, and then the Holy Spirit chastised me in the middle of the street. And he's like, stop this car right now and touch every wheel. And so then I touch every wheel. I say, Father God, I ask in the name of Jesus, you be the pilot, I'm the co-pilot. I come against accidents, incidents, tire blowouts, the transmission going, the engine going. Mm-hmm. I come against anything hitting the windshield, distractions. I come against, you know, Po 9. That would be you, woo, woo, coming up, you know, stopping me or whatever, you know. You know, it only takes a second, but sometimes we're just so into whatever we're doing that we really do forget. And so it's actually good that, yeah, seriously.
And you know what's so, I'm telling you, God is good. I read, because I've always told you, you know this, I can tell you what book certain things are in, but I've never been one to say, okay, James 5:16. And when you said it, my antennas went up, because that's what I was reading this week. And it was like, wow. Yeah. Really about praying. And I was like, you know, because, you know, we always say that incident with my son and some other things were going on. And I was like, you know, I'm praying. And then I said, you know, am I really like, we always hear that we praying and we say in Jesus' name, but is that enough? Are we doing it? And James 5:16 really is the blueprint on praying words. But yeah, so when you just said it, it just really, I just encourage all our listeners to go to James 5:16 and you know, see that as a blueprint. So mm-hmm. thank you so much for sharing that. That was confirmation. Mm-hmm. Yeah, that was really confirmation.
Wow. Amen. Well, to God be the glory. And you know what? Just want to put it out there that we can't confess our faults to everyone. But there are some safe spaces that we can be in where we can really be ourselves and let our hair down. Because, listen, nobody's perfect, ladies and gentlemen. And the last thing we want to do is pose and put forward that we're perfect people, because we're not. And if we were perfect, we wouldn't need Jesus Christ. Mm-hmm. So, you know, that's not the goal. But everybody needs somebody. And there are people, and it could just be one person. Remember, Jesus had 12 disciples, but he only rocked with three.
Mm-hmm.
Only three were privy to see him in his authenticity. The others were not. They weren't mature enough. So it doesn't mean that we don't love the other people, but it does mean that we have to be very careful in what we confide, how we confide and who we confide in when we confide. But we should confide, because listen, man, the situation that I was telling you about today, Lonzo, it was literally eating me alive. It really was. Mm-hmm. I was like, oh my gosh, because I'm just, you know, I've always been the way that I am. And when you look at the women in my family specifically, we were taught to like hair on the chest. Like we were taught that like the weakness is you confessing. But Jesus teaches us a better way. You know what I'm saying? Yes. Also, in Psalms 51, when King David is, when he's confessing, he said, oh my God, he said, all day long, my bones waxed weak. And when you think about that, so he was basically saying, like I was almost being eaten alive because I didn't come and confess to you. But as soon as I confessed to you, I got a healing.
Yeah. And so
sometimes the healing or the release or the relief comes in us being vulnerable and just being humble and just letting people know in real time, yo, this is what it is, you know? And unfortunately, there are some people that take advantage of that. And a lot of times we think that we can confide in certain people and we find out the hard way that everybody that we put on a pedestal, sometimes they're not as mature as we think they are. Or maybe we're idolizing, like you said before, maybe we're idolizing them and think and running to them to be the savior when only Jesus can be the savior. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah. Yeah.
So yes, I say all that to say read James 5:16.
No, that's
piggyback.
No, that was so awesome.
I got you.
That was so awesome. And you know, I was thinking when you were saying that about what'd you say?
What three things did you learn from that?
Oh my gosh, man! And then I will. Well, so I was going to say one thing when you talked about Peter, James, and John, because I remember my professor saying, "Hey, it's important, just like you said, to have, you know, at least two or three people that you can confide in." And I remember him jokingly said, "If you have more than three people you're telling your secrets to, you talk too much." And that is the truth. That really is the truth. But yeah, that it is important that we have to, and it's therapy. It's therapeutic. It's the same as going to a counselor or a therapist, talking about what's going on in your day. I had a good friend who he lost his wife lost their child in the stillbirth. And I remember him telling me he went through therapy, and he said it made a world of difference just because I was talking about it. Just talking about it alone was healing.
Yes.
And so that's really one of the biggest things. And then again, when we go back about being effective in prayer and having community, that's really important. It strengthens our church and our unity amongst each other. And we're there for one another. And then we can go on and talking about when two or more are gathered in his name and praying. What that's a promise, right? Isn't that a promise?
Yeah.
So, so those are the three things I'll focus on.
Wow. Okay. So that was awesome. And I had something to say to that, but I maybe Holy Spirit will bring it back. But I think that you came out of that with a bang because, you really did. Like you did your chief thing for sure.
Listen, man.
We need people. So many of us have been so hurt and torn, and you know, we're out here thinking like, this is the way. We're out here thinking like we're really gonna get to the promised land by ourselves. And no, that's not how it works. Like we need to understand that we need one another, you know, but we also have to understand that everybody don't need everybody.
Yes.
You know what I'm saying? Like everybody has their set few. And the set few that we have are the people that are made to strengthen, even when you're weak, you know. And for us as leaders, what I've learned, and I think I was saying this to you before, what I've learned, especially in this time, the last 3 weeks of just being like, Jesus, what I learned is that, what I've learned is that the people that I'm always uplifting in prayer, I got a chance for them to minister to me.
You know
what I mean? And wow. I think as leaders, yeah, I think, oh my gosh, it's been so beautiful. Like people that I've used to pray for, I mean, you know, I love praying for people, but people that I used to pray for, you know, like hardcore, they just came out of the woodwork. Just, you know, hey, I'm thinking about you. Just wanted sending me scriptures. And are you okay? Checking up on me. And it's just been like, wow, God, you see me. you know all things, you see all things, and you know what I need when I need it. You know what I'm saying? So I think that is very imperative for us to recognize that there's times where, you know, at some point in time, we all need to be ministered to, especially those of us who are leaders. We need to have that space where we can let our hair down and just be like, yo, I need a word. Like I'm struggling. I'm this, I'm that. I really need a word, you know?
Absolutely. And why you laugh?
All right, dreamy Dreamerton. Yeah.
No, I just, when you say those things, it just, I'm like really just, I guess my mind's thinking, I'm having visuals about, how do I put it? What we said earlier, people who listen to the show may not actually be attending church. And when you're saying that, I'm picturing them reaching out to people who they do know who are children of God and having these circle prayers. Because when all this was written, you know, James 5:16, all this was going on, there were no churches, right? There was, when they were talking about praying and gathering in his name, we're talking about people homes or out in the community and all. And so we're not above that.
I love how you pinpointed on that, because you're so right. The original church was just it was an assembly. It was just brothers and sisters getting together in a home, in a space, and just, you know, but all like-minded and lifting up the name of the Lord. You know what I mean? We've allowed so much culture and so much tradition to really stray away from God's original plan. You know what I mean? So even Moses, when they were in the synagogue and they were under the tent, that was an assembly. Moses was never talking about church. He was talking about, you know, the assembly, the synagogue, the tent, the Ark of the Covenant. You know what I mean? So I just love how you pinpointed on that. That was really good.
Oh, thank you. And I'll say this, I'm not saying don't go to, because there's a lot of value in church, but there are just some people who I know personally who will tell me, I'm not going, I am a Christian, I'm not going anymore. And so then what? They need to hear the word still. They still need community. They still need to be able to go to Muna's house and pray, you know, so.
Why not? Your house.
Oh, they can come too, but I think you definitely I like your prayers, man. I like how you pray.
No,
I do.
Your prayers are good too. Your prayers, you know. With prayer is communication with God.
You it know? Is.
You know, remember when Jesus was saying about the Pharisees, and he was like, you know, you pray all of these fancy, you're praying just to look and sound a certain way. And that's really what God wants. He wants us to talk to him and stop like all of this whack jack, because we know what's up. God knows what's in your heart. So you might as well just come to him naked, because he sees you. He knows you better than you know yourself. So just put it out on the table. Today I was telling my mother that how I talk to God. Mm-hmm. And she was like, you can't talk to God that way. And I was like, he's my dad. He's my father. And then Alexa, to God be the glory, Alexa chimed in. And she was like, you know, I speak to God like he's my friend. This is my 16-year-old, ladies and gentlemen. Mm-hmm. It was like, I speak to God like he's my friend. I say, God, I'm telling you right now, you better handle this person, because if not, I'm flick their wig.
Oh, Alexa. Hilarious.
And I was like, you know what? Why? If you're mad, the Bible says, I believe it's Ephesians 4:16. It says, be angry, but sin not. Don't let the sun go down and blah, 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 blah. But if you feel like you're about to split somebody's wig, doesn't it make better sense to go to your father and say, God, I'm trying to tell you, I'm going to go upside their head if you don't handle them. Either you do it or me. Doesn't it make better sense to do that than to just be like, oh, God, glory to your name? And let's get to it. Like, listen, God, I don't want to be in jail tonight. Get with this before, you know what I'm saying, we popping off. So,
No, and if you're having, because the whole purpose of the prayer and the time with God is really the relationship. And so you're talking like we have a relationship. You're not, you know, being robotic about it. But I love the analogy you gave about the Pharisee and the prideful Pharisee and then the tax collector who was humble and maybe wasn't as eloquent in their prayer, but the humility definitely got God's ear. It just reminds me, you know, you saying that, I'm like, you know, I can definitely be prideful and concerned about how I look when I say that. No, seriously. And so I'm spending this episode trying to throw out every flaw I can based on what you said earlier. But yeah, I can.
Tell the people. They need to know, all right?
They do. They do. Yeah. So, no, that's good stuff, man.
Well, that's
good.
Because, listen, man, but it also happened. Well, remember, you even said that when you were younger, Billy the Kid, you had that.
Remember? Yeah.
Didn't you have that
one? Yeah.
Huh?
Yeah.
You had that. So, I mean, you know, this is, you know, when we go through things like this and when we think we have to be a certain way, it really does come from, you know, how we were raised in our childhood and things of that sort. Whether it's bad or good, you know, because everybody has great experiences, but there are some people that have bad experiences, you know what I mean? And so, you know, a lot of times we're living as adults, we're living out of our childhood. And so that's something that you just always wanted to take care of the world. And so if you want to take care of the world, you're going to have to look a certain way to the world. You know what I'm saying? And and that's just not, it's not realistic. It's exhausting, brother.
It is. Yeah, my wife gets on me about it all the time, you know, like, you can't be perfect when you know, so, yeah, those things I have to work on.
Did she see your notes?
Yeah, it's like, you're doing too much. just talk, just...
She saw the notes.
you do too much.
Yes. But you know what, it's so good to strive. Because the Bible tells us through Daniel was promoted because he was a man of excellence. He was an exile that was in Persia. And the king, of course, you know, you're rocking with a king. You're talking about royalty. And and the king recognized that Daniel was a man of great excellence. And so he had favor. So he was ahead, one of the out of all of the presidents, because I think there was 100 and either 125 or 185men that were, you know, across the span of Persia. But there were three presidents that sat above those 185 or 125 men. And Daniel was the first of the presidents, because that, you know what that means. He was checking his work. He was making sure everybody was doing what they were doing. And he was a man of God. He was a man that, you know, was able to fight his flesh and have choice foods and drink so that he can stay close with the Lord. And so, you know, you remind me of Daniel. You're a man of excellence. You know what I'm saying? Yeah. And, you know, but that within itself is tiring when we're trying to do it ourselves and we're not letting God give us the direction, and when we're not following the direction. And here's the kicker. Here's the kicker for you, because sometimes God will speak to you through a dream, but other times he'll speak to you through your family members, your wife, your children, even seeing your, you know, your little ones, you know, the people around you. And that's what gets challenging, when we have to properly gauge what is God saying and through whom, because not every message is coming from the Lord. Sometimes it can be us in our own emotions.
Yes.
You know what I'm saying? I spoke to one of my friends about this the other day, because she and her fiance are going through some things, and you know, she's raising the church, he's not, but he's coming too, but he's not moving as fast as she feels. And I said, you know, I promise you that if you concentrate on your relationship with God, that man will see Jesus in you, and he will see peace in you that surpasses all understanding, and he will be running
to the Lord. But yeah. if you do it in your way, I promise you that you will fail. Mm-hmm. And I think that, you know, a lot of the times, just people in general, and it doesn't have to, ladies and gentlemen, this doesn't have to be like a romantic relationship type of flow. This can be a mother and a son. It could be a daughter and a father. It could be a mother and a daughter. Like, it could be a cousin and a cousin. You know, it could be a employee and an employer. You know what I'm saying? Sometimes we want people to get it so badly yeah. that we forget. Like, what did Jesus say? Take the beam out of your own eye, baby. Mm-hmm. Check your own. Check yourself before you wreck yourself. And then, you know what I'm saying? Be a Jesus follower. Because if you follow Jesus wholeheartedly, baby, they're going to catch on. They're going to catch on and they're going to be like, oh my gosh. Yes. This is what I, you know.
No, be the light.
Okay, Drinky Jimmy. Yes.
No, I'm right.
I Billy the Kid. Yes. But do you understand what I mean?
I do.
We really have to gauge, because sometimes God is knocking us over the head very lightly by the people that love us and care for us. And we just don't get the memo because we're like, oh, I can't receive that. You know what I'm saying? And then yeah. sometimes it's like, I can go on and on and on, brother, but you get where I'm coming from. You get where I'm coming from. But I say all that to say, I done seen your notes.
I ain't messing with you.
I done seen your notes, okay?
I am messing with you. Hey, we about to wrap up. Thank you for sharing that. Those are definitely powerful words. Any final thoughts, anything you want to say before we close out?
Black Farmer's Hub, produce market, your health food store, with vegetables and more, fresh fruits, fleshy juice, and acai bowls too.
Black Farmer's Hub is located at 1409 Cross Street in Raleigh. Stop by Nature's 360 Cafe for your herbs, favorite acai bowls, smoothies, and juices. And join us for Mental Health, Wealth, and Wellness Mondays.
Come get your $25 pass.
Proverbs 21:5 tells us, if you plan and work hard, you will have plenty. Yet, for many, money feels stressful and overwhelming. If you're tired of worrying about bills and debt, there's a better way. Kira Speed, a financial coach, helps individuals and families walk in wisdom and peace with their money. And she can help you build a plan that aligns with your spiritual values and also helps you feel empowered with your money so that you can save, pay down debt, and build wealth for you and your family. Interested in learning more? Visit moneyempowered.com to schedule your free 60-minute consultation.
My final thought is just that, you know, as we're going into this season, let us all remember that somebody somewhere is hurting, somebody somewhere is in need, somebody somewhere is looking for hope, and we can be the Jesus that they need. And for whatever that Jesus is, if it's a meal, like you said before, if it's a meal, if it's a toy, if it's adopting a family, if it's a scripture, if it's a prayer, whatever it is, God will let you know what someone needs. The Holy Spirit that is on the inside of each and every one of us believers will lead and guide you. So pay attention to those promptings and give people what they really need, because the suicide, and I don't want to be dreary, but the suicide rate during the holiday season, yes. it is always at its highest. We think that, oh, Christmas, if you flow that way. You know, we think that it's, oh, we're families getting together. But some people, their family has been diminished. They're by themselves. They're on the streets. They're, you know, hooking on the corners. They, you know, people need us. So don't ever, ladies and gentlemen, don't ever think that just the smallest of acts of love and kindness and hope, that God is not watching. You know what I'm saying? This is the time to be used by God. So be used by him at a magnitude, and know that everything that you do, the Bible says when you give to the poor, you lend to God. That's a biblical strategy. When you give to someone that is in need, it means that you literally, it's akin to you giving to God himself. And we already know that the Alpha and the Omega, we can never outgive him. So keep that in mind. We love you all. That's all I gotta say. Back to you, Roger.
That was beautiful. Those were beautiful words, especially this time of season, which you said about suicide. I shared with you, I worked on a psychiatric ward, and this time of year was the most depressing time because there were so many of the patients who had no family visit, and just, you know, there's just so many people out in the world being or feeling unseen, right? Like invisible, but God sees us all. And so we just have to remember that and lean on him and let him carry us through those battles. And on that note, we thank y'all. We love y'all.
Let me just wrap it up with a prayer. Like, I feel like.
Okay. Let's go for it.
Yeah, go for it.
Oh, see how you.
Come on, man. Come on. You got this.
Yeah. All right. Father. We thank you for this moment. We thank you for our listeners and the opportunity to gather in your presence.
Yes, sir.
Continue to lift every person who's hurting, who's struggling, who's carrying a burden. We ask that you touch them emotionally and physically and financially. And most importantly, touch them spiritually. Father, bring us comfort and help us be the vessels that you called us to be.
Yes.
In your name we pray, Jesus Christ, amen.
Amen.
I appreciate you, Muna.
Muna, don't say it how you usually say it. Muna.
Muna.
I want you to say it like a rapper.
I'll see.
Don't say it like a chief. Don't say it like a chief. Talk to me like you a rapper. All right? That's how we met.
I'm messing with you, man. Hey, I the fabulous Muna is in the building. We're wrapping it up. We'll see y'all next time. We love y'all. Thanks for listening.
God love bless you guys. Peace.
Don't forget to follow the Unknown Preacher LA podcast. We're on all podcast platforms.
It's the unknown, unknown. It's the unknown, unknown preacher.